We are continuing our study in the book of James. We know trials will come, and this is kind of the overview of James. You know, trials will come, but God is still good. So do what you know what you're supposed to be doing. So we'll be looking at today, like displaying your faith, controlling your tongue. Therefore, we're to submit to God, do his will, and graciously live with others as he would have you. There are three main themes that we've seen in the book of James: trials, wisdom, and wealth. We see this in verses 2 through 11, these three themes, and then they're repeated throughout the book. And last week, as we talked about, trials will come, and there are people going through trial right now, but God is still good. So our focus then has to be, we need to keep doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. And we'll see this in James 1, 19 through 27. If you have your Bibles open there, look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James 1, 19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." In a study on this by John MacArthur, he mentions in James 1 that there are three tests of a true believer. As I mentioned a few times, this is the show me book, right? You claim to be a Christian. We've said this stat before in 2015, 75.2% of Americans claim to be Christian. James would say, show me. You can tell me all you want. Fill in the blank on a survey all you want. When you start showing the world, you are a Christian. The three tests MacArthur pointed out of a true Christian are a right response to trials, 1 through 12, a right response to temptation, 1:13 through 28, and a right response to the word of God in verses 19 through 27. So today you're going to see the heavy focus on the word of God and how important it is to the life of the believer. Also in this text, we're going to see three commands and three reasons for those commands. And then James is going to illustrate that in four different ways at the very end. So first, let's look at the first command. Command number one, verse number 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Start with the first one. Let every person be quick to hear. We are to be quick to hear. Listening can do a world of good. Have you ever wished you listened to the full story before you gave your response? Anybody? Some of you are kind of chuckling as if something poor happened right after you opened your mouth, right? You identify with Peter at those moments, right? "Not so, Lord," insert foot, right? God gave us, what's the old adage? God gave us two ears and one mouth. So we should listen twice as much as we speak. So he just say, just listen, and that would do a world of good, right? Just listen would do a world of good. But look at the previous verse, verse number 18, that leads into this. So in context, verse 18, "Of his own will," of God's own good will, "he brought us forth, he made us alive," by what? The word of truth. "That we should be," and here's our purpose, "the kind of first fruits of his creature." God brought us forth by the word of truth. Now look, verse 19, we are to be quick to hear. So quick to hear what? Should we listen to others? Absolutely. Should we listen to wise spiritual mentors? Of course. Should we listen to the very words of God? Especially so. Especially so. In fact, look at how this passage in 19 through 27 zeroes in on the word of God. Verse 18, we are brought forth, right? We're made alive by God's word. Verse 21, we should receive what? The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, we are to be doers of the word, verse 25, we're supposed to be looking into the word, the perfect law of liberty, and persevere and keep obeying. We are to be quick to hear. We are to be quick to hear, and I would hope that is the case, especially when it comes to hearing the word of God. This leads us to our next phrase, be slow to speak. One writer said it this way, the righteous speak little and do much. Let me say that. The righteous speak little and do much. The wicked speak much and do nothing. The righteous speak little and do much. The wicked speak much and do nothing. Not only should we be quick to hear, but also slow to speak. This has been a battle for me. If you've known me for longer than 14 minutes, you know I love to share my opinion because you want to hear it. Right? Who doesn't want to know my opinion? It's so fantastic. And I have the greatest opinion for you on this. And that's, being honest with you, man, that's a struggle for me to zip my lip and listen. You may not struggle. Man, there are some people that are great at this, at just being silent and listening. You can be wise in those moments when you start hearing what are these people saying. Usually within a marriage, one is going to do more chitter-chatter than the other. As I've seen many spouses look at their spouse, hopefully not in condemnation, right? It's like, wouldn't it be great if you listened, honey, right? So you now, if you're that spouse, you know what my wife is going through. But you know the saying, think before you speak, and that obviously applies. But you think through in your own life, think through the times where you've gotten in trouble, not where you did a teenager idiotic thing. But think of the most of the times where you've gotten in trouble, a majority of them, are they not due to your tongue? I didn't mean that. You know what I meant? No, I don't think we did, because that's exactly what you said. James doesn't stop talking about the tongue here. Look down at verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. You ever seen somebody who looks and acts spiritual, but when their buttons get pushed, out comes the forked tongue? I mean, it looks good. All of a sudden, he just lost it. Just lost it. That leads us into the third point. Be slow to anger. Why should we be slow to anger? What does this have to do with being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger? And you think, just wrap these up in one idea. It's the word control, that you are to be under control. Specifically, we say biblically, under control of the Spirit of God. But we are to be under control. We are to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We're to be under control. Let's review real quick. The last time you got bad news from your child or your boss or your neighbor, how did you respond? Mommy, I broke. Hey, John, I need you to do one more project. How do you respond to these things, Mom and Dad? You quick to hear? Slow to speak? Slow to anger? How about this? Let me ask it this way. When was the last time you were slow to hear? When was the last time you were quick to speak? When was the last time you were quick to anger? We lose control. Mom, Dad, Grandpa, do you have a quick fuse? Teenager, will shouting at your parents one more time really do you good? But why are to be under control? Why are you to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? What reason does he give here? We see this here in the next part. Reason number one, James 20, for the anger of man does not produce righteousness of God. Brother, sister Christ, when you lost it online, when you lost it in the office, when you lost it in your home, do you realize what you are doing? Even if you're on the right side of the argument, well, I'm right, but you're angry. Guess what you won't be producing today? Look at the verse. Your anger will not produce the righteousness of God. You don't know my son. You don't know my boss. You don't know my mom. You don't know my dad. I don't. I probably don't. Do you know the word? And what it says about anger? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How are we supposed to give one another? Even as, just as God has forgiven you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. You want Jesus to forgive you like you forgive? I mean, you are to be kind. You're not supposed to be prompted to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Even if you're on the right side, if your anger is infused, you lose. You will lose. Your anger only accomplishes one thing. It hurts. It hurts your testimony, and it's going to hurt people. So we've seen the first command, be under control. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. What's the second command? Verse 21 here, second command, we are to put away and receive. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. So the first command had three parts to it. This one has two. Put away and receive. And receive. What are we to put away? First thing, filthiness. The word filthiness is a Greek word for one wearing dirty, putrid, smelling clothes. If you happen to have a teenager that plays sports, that smell spiritually to God. That's the smell. Okay? Filthiness. In rampant wickedness, which means one abounding in badness. That's awful English, but it's good Bible, right? One abounding in badness or evil. One abounding in evil. It's exactly what this means. So let's start with recognizing that you have, I have, evil, wandering hearts. We are prone to wander. Do you feel that at sometimes? Prone to leave the God I love. We wake up. And it's not all roses. We wake up and it's not, who can I serve? We wake up and life's about me and what I want and my pleasures and my joy. And you're impeding on that. Now put away, brother, sister, the filthiness of the flesh, the rampant evil that is in you. And what are you to do? You're to receive. Verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We are to receive with meekness. The word's the exact opposite of the word wickedness, and the word, the engrafted word, the inborn or implanted word. That leads us to the reason. Why should we put away? Why should we receive? What's the reason that he gives here? Reason two, because it's able to save your soul. What's able to save your soul? The implanted word. One writer said, James' language reminds his reader that they have experienced the fulfillment of the wonderful promise, but it also reminds them that the word that has saved them, right, going back to verse 18, the word that has saved them cannot be dispensed with or done away with after conversion. God plants it within his people, making it permanent, inseparable part of a believer and a guiding and commanding presence within. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. If you're, brother or sister, if you're not reading the word, if you're not meditating on the word, how is the word that to you? Answer that question. If I do not regularly get into the word of God, and I'm meditating on the word of God, I'm not trying to memorize the word of God. As we encourage our children to go to Awana, memorize scripture, why? Well, pastor, because, you know, if you, hide guys in my heart so that I don't, I'm not going to sin against God. Do you do that, mom and dad? You do that, grandma, grandpa? I'm too old. Give it a shot. Do you hide God's word in your heart? You meditate on it. You memorize it. How on earth can it be a light and a lamp to your feet and path if it's closed to you? The word is able to save your souls. You want to battle the flesh? Get into your Bible. Many times when we're sitting down, if you're counseling somebody and they come for counseling, one of the first questions I'll ask them somewhere along the line, how are your devotions doing? And if they're struggling spiritually, guess what I assume their answer will be? Not good. And then what does not good mean? This is, because not good is a good Sunday school answer for I haven't read for the last 2 months. So define not good for me. I haven't, okay, well, let's be honest. It's non-existent. Brother, sister, listen, reading your Bible doesn't make you spiritual, doesn't make you holy, but if you want to fight sin, this is a good place to start. Get into the Word, let it guide your feet, let it guide your path, start memorizing it, start hiding it in your heart. The Word is able to save your souls. It birthed you in verse 18. It will keep you on the right path, verse number 21. We see the third command here, verse 22. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If you are here and you're awake, if you're here and you're awake, okay, that's good. It's a good thing. You currently are a hearer of the Word. We've sung the Word. We've prayed the Word. And now we're listening to the preaching of the Word. We've read the Word. You're currently a hearer. What's the difference between a hearer and a doer? Parents, I need you to do something for me. Imagine this crazy scenario where you ask your children to go clean their room. Can you picture this? What would be the difference between a hearer child and a doer child? Can you understand this concept? What would be the crazy difference? Well, one actually went and what? They did it. They actually they literally just cleaned their room. Like you just went and obeyed. You did it. And that sounds funny, and that sounds all and good. And let me tell you, this is a horrifying moment where you just realize, oh no. What's the difference for you, Christian, between you being a hearer and a doer of the Word? Well, Pastor, I'm at church. All right. You fulfilled one command, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. Do you know any others? What's the difference between God saying, hey, go make disciples? What's the difference between a hearer and a doer? What's your answer? The one that goes and does. What's the reason we should be a doer and not just a hearer? What reason does he give? You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Well, how? In what way would I deceive myself? What's the overall message of James? Show me your faith. You say you're a Christian, so show me. Don't deceive yourself. So James is going to give you four illustrations. In case you're foggy on what does this look like, he's going to give you four illustrations. Hearer, doer, he's going to contrast them again, and then hearer, doer, and contrast those. So let's look at it. First illustration, verse 23 through 24. They describe a hearer, for anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. So here, put yourself in one of these two categories. You're going to be one of the two. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face, in the mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and wants to forget what he was like. What makes a hearer a hearer, not a doer? He looks into the word of God, and look at the word they use here, intently. Good purpose, good desire, isn't it? Where's he looking? Into the word, that's a good thing. He's getting in the words, looking intently. Sees who he is, his natural face. It's like this is, and it's in early culture, this would have been like seeing himself as if he was just a brand new baby, seeing himself like that baby skin on. He sees who he is. He sees his real self. And what does he decide after looking intently and seeing who he really is? What does he decide? What does he do? He leaves and forgets to do anything. Remains unchanged. God, I forgot I was supposed to make disciples. I forgot I was supposed to be a testimony at work. I thought that was just church. I forgot I was supposed to give of my time. I forgot I was supposed to give of my talents to you. I forgot I was supposed to. The hearer intently looks and sees himself and does absolutely nothing. Be like somebody walking in church, hearing from the Word of God, knowing I should change, and leaves and does nothing the rest of his days. So, category, are you a hearer or are you a doer? Not sure? Look at verse number 25. Here's the contrast, verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the word of God, the law of liberty, and perseveres, he continues to be faithful. He's going to continue to obey. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. How is the doer different than the hearer? The doer looks in the word, now described as a perfect law. He does not forget. He acts. He does not remain unchanged. He actually goes and does something about it. He puts his money where his mouth is. I'll actually go do it. I said, and I realized I am supposed to, so I'm actually going to go do it. I'm not going to be a hearer. So God, I see I should make disciples by your strength. I now go. God, I see I should be salt and light in the community. With your help, I will be. God, I see I should give. I should give of my time, my talents, your kingdom. By your grace, I will. Think of the next command. I will. Next command, I will. Because I'm not a hearer of the word who just forgets that God has asked me to live a certain way outside of this building. I am a doer who acts. I can't do it by my own strength. We understand that, right? What good can you accomplish? Our righteousness as what to God? Filthy rags. I'm not doing this to get his commendation. I'm doing it because I love him. If you love me, you will. If you love me, what will we do? Keep his commandment. Do you love him? If you do, what would you be doing? God, I love you. Do you? I'm a Christian. Are you? Show me. You come here on Sunday and you leave, brother, sister, man, we went through an entire series on the church for over 20 weeks begging you to see the importance of the local assembly to your soul. You cannot just keep coming and leaving. If you're coming and leaving and you're not plugged in, you're not doing anything for the Lord, I have to ask the question, don't I? Do you love him? Get plugged in. Serve. Keep his commandments. Be a doer, not just a hearer. There's a large contrast. James isn't done. So let's look at the third illustration here. He said, some may have thought, and maybe somebody he could think in his audience is going to think, all right, James, give me one illustration. All right, man, you're talking in this vague generality. Just one illustration. What does this look like? What does this look like? Are you talking hearer, doer? Give me one illustration of what a hearer looks like. Okay. Sure. Verse 26. What does he say? Verse number 26. Here, I'll hit you up. You want one illustration? Verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious, I go to church. I go to church. And does not bridle his tongue. He deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Here's one example. Can you control your tongue? How about another challenge? How about, let's try something different. No. You're controlling your tongue by God's grace? Why the tongue? James, lay off the tongue. You don't need to devote entire chapter 3 to the tongue, right? If you ever grew up in church, you knew it was coming. James 3, oh, here we go. How I use my tongue, bitter water. Sweet water. All right, James, we get it. Why the tongue? Listen to this, Matthew 12, because James is just polyparodying his big brother, Jesus, his half-brother, the brother of Christ, and he polyparrots him. Listen to Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit bad, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Apple tree. You're a genius. You know that's apple tree. Why? There's apples. You brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. Listen to this. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, listen to this, please, very carefully. By your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Your mouth shows the entire planet, and more importantly, your Savior, what's in here. My college president used to say so often, the mouth is the dipstick to the heart. Well, maybe that passage was too strong. How about Matthew 15:10? Jesus called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. He goes on to describe, that's where murder and envy and lust come from. It's coming from the heart. It's just showing us your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And God says, I know it. The world can know it. You just got to listen long enough. We just got to listen. We'll see when trials come, when temptation comes, when struggles come, when this starts moving, we'll know. We're seeing by your words, you're justified. By your words, you are condemned. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I'd ask you, what has the world learned about your heart this last month by what you've said? So in the last month, what has the world learned about you through your words? Where your hope is? How controlled you are? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? Mom and dad, what have your children learned about your heart? Grandma, grandpa, don't feel good. It's easy sometimes to get crotchety or angry. What do your grandchildren learn about your heart by the words that you speak? I unfortunately had a poor example of that as a grandparent. Always angry, always bitter. Rarely did I hear sweet words come. What was Grandma showing me? Show me your heart. She's hurt, angry. Wants vindication by her own strength. So James now gives, you want an example, I'll give you one of a hearer. Right, James? Okay. What about an example of a good doer? What does a good doer look like? Want an example? And then you know the next verse, like, I don't know I want to read the next verse. I don't know if I want that illustration, because you know the next verse that's coming. This test puts you through the fire. Are you what you say you are? Let's look at verse number 27. Religion that is pure, religion that is undefiled before God, is this. Visit orphans. Visit widows in their affliction and keep yourself unstained from the world. It's a great verse. It's a gem. But it's so unbelievably clear. Do you read this and you don't know what to do? Is it ambiguous to you? You don't have to guess what he's saying. So what, pray tell, is a doer, James? You want to see somebody who's pure and undefiled before God and the Father? whose religion is worth something and not worth less. They're going to visit the helpless. You know any widows in our church? You know any widows out of our church? Widowers? Orphans? Can you craft time in your busy schedule? Work them in? Well, that's what pastors and deacons are for. That's not what I'm seeing in verse 27. Christian, are you a doer or a hearer? Examine. This speaks to your heart. Why the helpless? Do you have the compassion of your Savior to visit the least of these? He came for the least of these, didn't he? The foolish, base, and the vile. I'm in. Lord, I'm there. If you left heaven to earth, we sing, to show the way. Can I craft time in my schedule for the least of these? What about the next? He says, keep yourself unstained from the world. Brother, sister, are you unstained from the world? Your coworkers, cadets, we talked about this in Sunday school, your classmates, fellow rats, do they see you being unstained from the world? Do they know? One commentator I read in this didn't mince words. Listen to what he says. Those James wrote to had heard this doctrine. They had believed it, but they had put it to no practical use. They were those who practiced a sort of stupid, inactive faith. They had reasoned themselves into a state of carnal security, and the object of St. James is to awake them out of their sleep. Wake up. Wake up, Christian. Are you really a child of the King? Yeah. Then show us you are. Well, pastor, I come to church. Stop with church. Church is great. Do I love church? I love church. I think it's fantastic. Coming here does not make you a Christian. It's like walking into a car. A garage does not make you a car. Coming here does not make you a faithful member of the body of Christ. Coming here does not mean you love God. If you've gone to church any amount of time, you know that. How many times have you read your Bible only because you knew somebody to ask you, you had no care to read it? Ever felt like that? How many times I did my devotions only because I knew mom and dad would ask? Is that spiritual? It just shows my heart. So when the facade is rubbed away and the real you, you're looking at the real you in the mirror. Are you a hearer or a doer? Pick your box. Does that mean you're not saved? Absolutely not. It could mean you need to retool your life and your priorities now. If you recognize I'm a hearer and I'm not a doer, should I evaluate if I'm saved? Absolutely. Am I trying to get you to doubt your salvation? Absolutely not. But brothers, I cannot let you come into this building and leave and come to this building and leave, come to this building and leave and do nothing and let you think I'm safe. I gotta ask, where's the fruit of your life? What are you doing with the good 24 hours God has given you? If you love him, you will keep his commandments. And if you love him, it's solely because why? He loved me first. Do you know this God? Do you believe he loves you? Do you love him? If all those things are true, what should we see in your life? You should be obeying his commands. James 2, we're going to see, does obeying commands, does checking a box mean I'm saved? So, Pastor, if I go today, and we're going to go home, man, I'm really convicted about this, and the way home, Heritage, I'm going to stop in at Heritage, way home, I'm going to say hi to one widow, and we're going to leave, because I'm going to check my box, I visited a widow, and I'm good now, right? No, brother, sister, no. This is a continual command. And we don't do things to check the box. It doesn't give us street cred with God. We obey him simply because we love him. Mom and Dad, don't you want your children to do what you're asking them to do simply because they love you? Children, teenagers, if your parents are asking you to do something and you cannot do it in a loving attitude, let me ask you to read through Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and read through it carefully. But to love and honor, is that not the desire of every parent, that your children will love and honor you by simply obeying a simple task? Go take out the trash. And your Savior, who redeemed your soul and mind from destruction, is going to ask you simply, go make disciples. I'm not trying to strong arm you into this. I'm trying to force religion on you. But James asks a fair question, doesn't he? You say you have faith in James 2. Show me your faith by your works. Show me. Brother or sister, I'd be remiss. I'd be foolish to assume everybody that walks through these doors knows Christ as your Savior. I told you before, a deacon in my church ended up walking down the aisle and ended up accepting Christ as his Savior. That's why when we do communion, as we will next week, we ask the church to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. I'm not trying to get people to doubt salvation. I'm not trying to get people to think if I just check boxes, that means I'm saved and I'm holy and I'm sanctimonious before God. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. So James lists off a litany. All right, let's get down to control. Who are you controlled by? Let's get off to put on and put off, to putting away and receiving. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You want to see what a hearer is and a doer is? Let me write it out for you in clear words. Are you a hearer or are you a doer? So what does all this mean for us today? Let me ask you a few questions. First, do you know Christ? As I've asked each week we've gone through this study, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, may I encourage you to surrender your life to the rule and reign of Christ. Accept him as your Savior and Lord of your life. You do so by admitting you are a filthy wretch, as we saw earlier. You confess that Jesus is God. He did die. He did rise. He did ascend. And you surrender your entire life, not for a golden ticket. Surrender your entire life to our great God and King. And you can say with all the host of the redeemed, I am his and he is mine. It's not a one-day decision. I encourage you and I implore you, make that decision today. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your entire life. If you're here and you're a Christian, let me ask you, are you under control? Are you under control? Are you quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? Especially are you quick to hear the word of God? One member emailed me a quote this week, and it said it, do we value scripture? Do we value it more than we value our reality TV shows and the songs we download on iTunes and the stats of our favorite sport teams? We tend to commit to memory those things we value most. Don't we? We tend to commit to memory those things we value most. A member continued in the email saying personally that as a member, the members of LBC should dig into God's word, write out and memorize verses that remind us what we should be doing as God's children. I encourage you to do that. That's a great statement from our members, that we should be writing out in scripture, memorizing ourselves. You got a 30-minute drive? Put a verse on your, where the speed is. Make sure you can see 65 and 70. Put your verse where your speed is. And every time you look down, go through it and go through it and go through it, go through it. Get the Bible app and play the verse over and over and over and over again. Last question here. If you're here and you claim to be a Christian, can I ask you one more here? Are you a hearer or a doer? Are you a hearer or a doer? Another member emailed me a quote, and it says, the bottom line is, the Word of God evokes action. And if there's no action from the Word, then clearly there has been no acceptance of the Word. Are you a hearer? Or are you a doer? Another member emailed me this week after reading James 1:19 27. Again, you can feel free. Next week, we're walking through the next passage here in 2 verses 1 through 13. Read through it. Get a good Bible study. Get a good commentary. Read through it. Email me what you're learning. Well, another emailed me and said of this passage after James 1:19 through 27 and said, I need to spend more time studying Scripture, looking for ways to apply it to all my life. And speaking of the church, he said, we need to be seeking those that are in need specifically. Think of those in Houston. We need to be seeking those that are in need. We have plenty of nursing homes close by. So I encourage you to think through this question. Are you a hearer or a doer? How would your spouse, your parents, your sibling, your best pal, how would they describe your life, a hearer or a doer? Let me ask you one last question here. What about God? How would God classify you? A hearer or a doer? We can fake a lot of people. But before him, our soul is laid bare. Does your Savior know you to be a doer of his word or a hearer who forgets? Let's pray.